if you step outside, God's moving you on. Whatever it might be in your life, just know God has a choice behind you. He'll take care of his ministry. He'll take care of his church. Moses is moving on. Sometimes we place far too much emphasis upon man. I mean, we do. We just think, oh, you're just the only one that could ever do this. No, maybe not. Maybe they're not the only one. Maybe it is good that it's a transition time. Maybe it is good that Moses has to get out of the way so that Joshua can take him in. And sometimes we place too much emphasis upon the men and women in spiritual leadership. Those that God uses, we place far too much emphasis on the instruments, because that's all we are, we're just instruments.
Thanks for joining us today as we wrap up another week together here on Abounding Grace. Today, our teacher, Ed Taylor, is going to continue our series through the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to hear part two of Ed's message, God Uses Change and Transition to Help Us Grow and Go. In Psalm 55, verse 19, we read, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. Change is something that usually doesn't come easy. We get set in our ways, and change is something we often look at with regret or disdain. Yet God is clear that change is something we're going to need to deal with all throughout our lives if we want to grow in our relationship with Him. Now, let's grab our Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31 and join Pastor Ed as our spirits are lifted in God's abounding grace.
You know, God's ministering to you, but everyone's being ministered to tonight. You're receiving a word from the Lord, but everybody's getting it. That's the glory, the beauty of coming together. And Moses was a wise leader to remember that he did this not in private, but he did it in public encouragement. Joshua is God's man to take the people in. As he becomes this picture of Jesus Christ taking us into the promises of God, Moses didn't choose Joshua. Joshua didn't choose Joshua. The people didn't take a vote, and they didn't put five people up there, and which one do you want to take you in? God chose Joshua. This is God's man. Joshua may not think he is. He's got always, you're going to see that pattern. Be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous. But God has chosen Joshua, and he's the choice. You know, sometimes we think that if we step away from a ministry or God does a regular major change in the ministry, some people hang on too long. Like, if I leave, it'll just fall apart. But that's not true. I mean, it might fall apart. It could be God's will that fall apart, or it could be that the ministry was built on you, and now that you're gone, ministry can't continue. There are a lot of reasons why, but let me just encourage you. If you step outside, God's moving you on. Whatever it might be in your life, just know God has a choice behind you. He'll take care of his ministry. He'll take care of his church. Moses is moving on. Sometimes we place far too much emphasis upon man. I mean, we do. We just think, oh, you're just the only one that could ever do this. No, maybe not. Maybe they're not the only one. Maybe it is good that it's a transition time. Maybe it is good that Moses has to get out of the way so that Joshua can take him in. And sometimes we place too much emphasis upon the men and women in spiritual leadership. Those that God uses, we place far too much emphasis on the instruments, because that's all we are, we're just instruments. God moves Moses on, Joshua's going to be right there. They're going to go in. You know, we think that some people are just vital and essential. We might even think ourselves in pride that we're just essential to the work of God. How could anyone get along without us? How could the world keep spinning on its axis if we don't continue to do what we do and say, well, what happens now? What if God does transition in leadership? What happens if you're in a ministry where there just seems to be this thriving time and then God does a transition? What are we supposed to do? And that's a question. What are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to do what you were doing before the leadership transition, and that is just trust in the Lord. He's our leader. He's going to use different human instruments in our lives, but understand that God has a Joshua always in the wings. Even if we, you know, sometimes, not sometimes, all the time, I encourage the leaders and the servants in this church to raise up a Timothy. Paul had a Timothy. That's a picture to have someone alongside that if indeed you were to transition on, you can hand over the ministry to a Timothy and you can transition on. And that's fantastic. Even if you don't have a Timothy, God has a Joshua. You can trust him. He will take care of his church. You know, even when you and I are sleeping and slumbering, God is caring for his church. Think about that. Even when you are fast at work and something going on in your life, parenting, work, issues, health, whatever, even as you and I are distracted by the things of this world, whether willingly or unwillingly, God's still caring for his church, and he will always take care of us as believers. And he'll always, amen, we receive that. He'll always take care of his church. You can trust him. And if you're in leadership and you think you're absolutely vital to the ministry, without any intention of offense, let me just say, you are not vital to the ministry. It could go on without you or without me. Does that mean you're unimportant? No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you're unimportant to God. I'm not saying you're unimportant to the ministry. I'm not speaking to that part of the equation. I'm speaking to the part of the equation where you may have this self-centered type of thought that you're the only one that could do this, or you're the only one that could lead this, or you're the only one where that becomes this place of pride. I just want you to know. It was illustrated to us once. I wish I had a glass of water here, but I remember wrestling with some things at the previous fellowship where I served. And there was a glass of water here, and the pastor I was serving under stuck his finger and he says, "You know, Ed, that's you. And when you leave, this is what it looks like when you leave. You see how fast did it take for the water to fill that gap that you represented by this finger? I do have water, but check this out. It won't work in this. So you won't be able to see it. But if you notice in here, the water just fills in really quick, okay? And it just stuck with me. My hands are clean. It stuck with me that God wants to use me. God desires that I want to be used. But if I ever think everything depends on me, and I ever begin to build a little kingdom, or I ever begin to push people away and threaten by people that are gifted, more gifted than me, if I'm ever threatened by a teacher in our church that can teach way better than me, or if I ever start to play games and be threatened by someone that can just pastor better than me, or if the worship team starts getting threatened because there's so many other worship leaders that are serving now and not everyone's getting one, whatever, there's better greeters, better ushers, better hospital visits, whatever it might be, if we ever start to go down that road, God has a very definite way of teaching us that, you know, I can accomplish my ministry with or without you. I'd love to do it with you, but if you keep on this road, you're making yourself unusable to me. And so be encouraged. There's always a Joshua. And if in perhaps, again, for the sake of not being misunderstood, if the other side of the equation where you might be dealing with some of these feelings, you might just give them over, just die to yourself. Just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. And don't misunderstand me in relationship to the desire of God to use you and how important you are in the work of God. God has chosen to use man to reach man, women to reach women, kids to reach kids. He wants to take humans and reach humans. And so that is the method of ministry that he has today. But none of us are so important that there couldn't be a Joshua that comes behind us and takes care of business for us. And actually, what happens with Joshua? He takes them farther than Moses did. Praise God for his work in the church. Okay, verse 9 now. It says, Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses, verse 10, commanded them, saying, at the end of every seven years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all of Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women, little ones, the stranger who's within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God. And carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess. So every 7 years, make sure the law is read in its entirety for two. You notice it's mentioned twice, verse 11 and verse 13, verse 12. and verse 13, it's mentioned twice, speaking of that you might hear and learn to fear the Lord. And so what do we do here? Not just every 7 years. We want you in the Word every day, right? Every morning, every night, just that you saturate yourself with the Word of God, because when you do, it strengthens you and it teaches you and me to learn how to fear, to hear the Word of the Lord and fear God. And that's where your strength's going to be. A healthy dose of fear before the Lord. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua, present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate him. And so Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. And the Lord appeared at that tabernacle in the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. God is serious about this transition. He wants the people to know this is from him, not from Moses. That's a difficult thing, I think, when we speak of human leadership, because God doesn't always give us a pillar of cloud over the sanctuary when I make a decision or one of the leaders makes a decision. Now he wants us to walk by faith. And it's amazing in our relationship when the leaders that you serve alongside make decisions you agree with, you've got all the faith in the world, don't you? Oh, yeah, woohoo, yeah, let's do that. But then when the Lord leads a pastor, perhaps, or a leader to make a decision you don't agree with, you're tempted to bellyache about it. Or I might be tempted to assert my authority or give my opinion. And I think we just need to learn how to trust in the Lord. And unless, you know, again, I'm not advocating, maybe you came from a fellowship where you were hurt by a bad mistake or a sinful decision by a leader. I'm just talking about generally, as we walk together, we're going to learn that in the servants' classes. We're like-minded. And we're seeing things generally in the same direction. We may have different points of view on a few things, but generally we're like-minded. That word literally means to be one-souled. Like we're just soul brothers and sisters and seeing the work of God take place. You want to have the same kind of faith when you don't agree with a decision. We don't have the cloud today. It would be nice, wouldn't it? Say, okay, church, I just want to let you know, this is a crazy decision. I know it's going to challenge you. Not all of you are going to agree, but I just want you to know. And then we just kind of, the roof goes up, and I say, see that up there? See that cloud? That just means God's in this, okay? Just, you know, and then God's going to start speaking.
This is what I'm doing right here.
And he's going to start speaking. And yet God has chosen now to speak through leaders and pastors, teachers. That your spirit bears witness with his spirit, that this is the direction. You got to put a guard up. You and I, we need to put a guard up in our hearts and in our minds and be prepared for times of disagreement so that we can handle disagreement in a spiritual way, so that the church isn't divided, that believers aren't divided, and that God's work continues on even in disagreement. And unfortunately, it's just far too often. Good decision is usually defined by not by a biblical standard, but by a lot of times we determine good decisions by because we like it or we agree with it, when we should just be in prayer that God would make us like-minded in the ministry, whether it's decisions that God has entrusted to my care, to the board of this church's care, to the staff pastors or the lay leaders or the home fellowship leaders or whatever decisions that are being made, that you trust in the Lord and look to him. Even if you don't get a cloud, you're not going to get a cloud. But they're getting a cloud. So it's clear. Joshua's here. Verse 16. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers. This people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land where they go to be among them. And they will forsake me and break my covenant which I've made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I will forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Those are horrible last words to hear. He's like, all these people, they're going to turn on me. Moses, they're gonna commit idolatry. They're gonna forsake me, and I'm gonna forsake them. Poor Moses, it's like the last thing he's gonna hear. And he's getting some bad news. He says, and many evils and troubles, verse 17, shall befall them. Well, let's go back to verse 16. Where they go to be among them, they will forsake me, break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be aroused against them in that day. I will forsake them, I will hide my face from them. They shall be devoured. Many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they may say in that day, have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And let me just pause here for a second, just to throw this out. When difficulties come into our lives, it is a healthy thing to pray and ask God whether you're right with him. That's often the last thing that we think of. We just automatically think, you know, oh, why are these evils befalling me? Why are these things happening? Why does God feel so distant? You know, why is there resistance? Why is not, things aren't, why? Just pray. I don't know whether it's something you did or not. I don't know whether it's something in your life. I don't know. But I'll tell you, if you pray to God and ask God, is there any areas, are we not right here? Can you search my heart, God? Reveal any unclean thing in my heart toward you? You know what he'll do? He'll reveal unclean things to you so that you can start getting back on track, walking and abiding in the Spirit. I don't understand why we avoid that part of our Christian life, but we need to not avoid it. We need to become clean before the Lord. Who knows? There might be something that's hidden or unseen or unknown. There might be a pattern that's developed that we don't even see. And God, you know, for them, they became idolatrous. For them, they became, and they will become, a covenant breaker. And although Jesus will never leave you or forsake you, and although Jesus is for you, not against you, and although you may find yourself still a believer, but not experiencing the depth of the love of God, right? Is that what happened with the church in Ephesus? Like Jesus had to come to them personally and say what? Repent. Return to your first love. So be open to that. Maybe the wrestling's in your life right now. Maybe the things in your life. Maybe the resistance. Maybe it's been a fruitless season because your heart, something dealing with your heart. There's just something there that God wants to deal with. He says in verse 18, I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil which they have done, and that they've turned to other gods. Now therefore write this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. When I brought them to the land flowing with milk and honey, of which I swore to their fathers, and they have eaten and filled themselves and grown fat, then they'll turn to other gods and serve them, and they'll provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall be, when many evils and troubles have come upon them, that this song will testify against them as a witness. For it will not be forgotten in the mouths of their descendants, for I know the inclination of their behavior today, even before I have brought them to the land of which I swore to give them. And so, transition's coming. God is there to make sure that the people understand this is from him. And notice he tells them, look, I already know the future, right? God has foreknowledge. He knows all things. So what does he predict? He says, you know what? You're going to play the harlot. This nation's going to play the harlot. What did they do? They played the harlot with all the gods in them. They said that God said that they're going to forsake me. What did they do? They forsook them. God says many evils and troubles will befall them. You know what happened? Many evils and troubles befell them. It just reminded me in my own study, because I feel this way often. Isn't there just times in your life when you wish you knew the future? Don't you ever just like, God, could you just tell me what it's going to be like in a month or two? Can't you just unfeel? I want to know. I mean, anybody here just ever feel like that? Okay, I'll pray, God, can you just reveal to me what? And you know what? God doesn't reveal it to us. You know why? Because we couldn't handle it. Because implied in that prayer is, God, can you just show me all the good things that are going to happen out of this? We take Romans 8:28, right? We go, oh, God, you're going to work all things together for the good. Can you just show me the future good out of this? And we never expect God to say, this is what's going to happen. We wouldn't be able to handle it. We're not made for that. We wouldn't be able to handle the entirety of our life. And you can look back even 5-10 years and say, what if God revealed your past 10 years to you? Do you think we would have scrambled to try to fix it, wouldn't we? We would have scrambled to try to avoid it. You know, on such and such a date, this major thing's going to happen. We would have lived our life. Just speaking for myself, but human nature would have led us probably to just try to avoid that day, stay in and not even pull the alarm clock out, right? We're not even waking up that day. Not even going to experience that, like as if we can thwart the will of God. But I'm just learning to pray, Lord, just give me today my daily bread. Just today. I already know the week is full. I see my calendar. I already know things are going on. I already know. I don't know exactly what it means, but I already know things are going to come my way. And Lord, just give me sufficient grace and strength for today, because I'm going to have a hard enough time dealing with today. My flesh wants to know the future, but I know you don't want me to know the future, and I'm just going to trust you. All these little subtle things that come in our lives to lead us away from a life of trust. And Moses gets the full picture here. So what does he tell him to do? He says, as he's unveiling this, he's going to let Moses use his gifting one more time before he passes on in eternity. And he says in verse 19, I want you to write down a song. You know, music is very powerful. Music is a very powerful thing. We're going to look at the song together in our next study. But it's important for us to realize how powerful music is spiritually. This whole cop-out that we had growing up, and I'm sure some of your kids, you know, they might be listening to ungodly music or music that just rips Jesus or rips just junk. And you might want to talk to them about it, and you do, and then they say, well, you know, Mom and Dad, I don't listen to the lyrics. You know, of course, some of the songs, you can't understand anything they're saying anyway, but for the songs that you can understand, you know, I don't listen to the music. I don't listen to the lyrics. Are you kidding me? Of course you do. You listen to that 500 times, the lyrics are going to get burned into your head. Right? You know, if I was more talented, I could just come over to the keyboard and just play a couple do-do-do-do, whatever, and you guys would immediately just go, oh, 19, whatever. You know, I'd have to do it a few times for every generation, so I'd have to walk through. We all have music that ministered to our generation. Secular music that ministered an ungodly word, not necessarily spiritual word, but the flip side as well. There's spiritual songs that you listen to when you're a new believer that when you listen to them, they take you right back, don't they? To a good time, to an encouraging time. Music's very powerful. Music can be used to glorify God. It can be used to blaspheme God. And to think right now, church, that music doesn't affect you negatively if you choose to go and listen to things that are ungodly is just silliness. Of course it does. And of course it will. It's a very powerful tool. And we need to be careful. God has chosen. I want you to see. God has chosen for the children of Israel and their kids and their descendants to learn this song. Because this song will become a tool in the toolbox of God to minister to them when they've turned from Him. So Moses, I want you to do, I want you to write a song down because I already know what's going to happen and this song's going to be it's going to be against them. You know, we don't have time to look at it, but in Ezekiel chapter 28, you can look it up for yourself, a little homework. We have a description of Satan, this beautiful cherub before the fall. You know what he was? He was a worship leader. Some would even suggest that he was a musical instrument.
You've been listening to Ed Taylor with important instruction from the book of Deuteronomy. Be with us Monday as we conclude this message. God uses change and transition to help us grow and go. We know that many times you're unable to tune into this daily broadcast. That's why we make available the message for you to listen to from our website or to order on an audio CD. If you'd like a copy of this three-part message, ask for CD number 0528. That's 0528. We're suggesting a donation of $2 for each audio CD, which covers the cost of materials and includes shipping. Any additional amount allows us to make these materials available to those who can't afford them and help us to provide you with this daily radio broadcast. However, if you're a bit more techno-savvy and use MP3 audio files, we'd like to offer an MP3 disc of the entire Deuteronomy series free of charge. Again, this free disc is an MP3 disc, not an audio CD. If you'd like to play shorter by phone, contact Abounding Grace toll-free at 877-30-GRACE. That's 877-304-7223. The address for Abounding Grace is P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado, 80046. Again, that's P.O. Box 460-598, Aurora, Colorado, 80046. Well, for those of you living in the Denver metro area, we'd love to have you join us this weekend. We have a Saturday evening service, which begins at 6 p.m., and you can also join us Sunday morning as well. There you can choose to attend either the 8:45 or 10:45 a.m. service. For directions and more information, give the church office a call at area code 303-628-7200. Or check out the Click for Directions link. It's right there on the homepage of our website at www.calvaryaurora.org. We also broadcast our services live on the internet, so no matter where you live, you can be a part of our worship family. For more information, just log on to calvaryaurora.org. Again, for all the details, click in at www.calvaryaurora.org. Also, you can now follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Send us a tweet and keep up to date on all that's happening with Pastor Ed and the church. Get further information on our website at Calvary Aurora, and Aurora is spelled A-U-R-O-R-A, calvaryaurora.org. We pray that you've been blessed today, and we'll see you next time as you continue to walk in God's abounding grace. This program is presented by Calvary Chapel of Aurora.